Hey everybody, it is Wednesday and it is another no filter Snipes and Stripes big day. Wow, I'm so excited. You know why I am so excited, Tim?
Yeah, because you're in Florida.
Because I'm in Florida. I'm playing a golf tournament and I'm getting ready to go, you know, go match up in the Pro Cup.
I love it.
I got David Booth, Getzlaff, Brett Hall, Brad May, Brendan Morrow, Bernie Nichols, Joe Pavelski, Dan Quinn, Justin Williams, Wisniewski, and Terry Yake, all getting ready to battle all the best of the pro sports.
Out of all those golfers, who do you think is, besides you, of course, who is the best golfer handicap-wise? Or who do you think is the best out of all those guys you just listed?
Well, to me, the best player I've ever played with that's outside of PGA Tour and pro is Joe Pavelski.
He's that good, eh?
He's so good. So I have Joe Pavelski teamed with Brad May because Brad May, we have to have a little bit higher handicapper here in this tournament. Brad May is probably about a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
So I got Joe Pavelski teamed with Brad May, and they played pretty well today. It was myself and Getzlaff. We shot 2 under today as a best ball.
Does Getzy hit it pretty good?
Getzy hits it really good. Really soft hands. Really, he hits it about 20 or 30 yards further than me. I hit it a little bit straighter. But,
yeah, I played with you. You hit it straight, so he can hit it. He can bomb.
He can hit it. He gets a little bit erratic, a little bit. But Dan Quinn is like, yeah, he's nails, right?
So he plays every day.
At one day, he was a +4. You know,
wow.
Bernie Nichols is a 0. Justin Williams is a 0. Yeah. Wisniewski, you know, whoa! Look who just joined us.
There's the Hall of Famer.
Wow.
There's a Hall of Famer.
By the way, you know what's great about doing my show? What's doing my show is I get to connect with some of my favorite people of all time. And there's no question. Last week we had Theo. The week before we had good old Dougie Waite. And now we get the slam dunk trifecta of Billy Guerin. Billy, what's up, buddy?
Buddy, not too much. Doing great.
Where are you? Are you in a cabin somewhere?
This is a little section of my basement that we have transformed into an Irish pub type area.
It's your getaway, right, buddy?
It's just one little part of it, but yeah, when we bought the house, it was like a sound stage or a sound room, and they had guitars and stuff, and there's like a little stage right here. And
are you singing?
See, you can see the speaker in the back. Like
I can see it.
We love karaoke, as I'm sure, as I know you do. So we just transformed this little part into a little Irish pub.
I just got sucked into karaoke. Actually, it wasn't even karaoke. I had a friend in Chicago who has a band. And he said, you're going to come sing with me. So I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go.
Yeah,
like,
twist your arm.
Yeah,
exactly.
not only twist my arm, like I think I can sing like the sparrows, but as soon as I get up on stage, everybody's like, ooh, yeah. Their ears start burning. But I'm up there just throwing it out as hard as I can. You know, I know the words, but the words don't come out the way it sounds like on the radio, which is a problem.
You know what? I find the louder I play the songs on the radio, the more I sound like the artist.
That singer?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how many cocktails, too.
Yeah, Billy Guerin, hey, thank you for joining us. For everybody that's joining us and watching, I don't think it's a surprise to say that you are one of the greatest American hockey players of all time, and now trying to create a team in Minnesota that so many people in Minnesota over the years have waited for. And you're having some amazing success so far this year. And I just have to ask at this point right now, right before Christmas, how do you feel about your team right now? Because you guys right now are leading the Central and pretty much in front of everybody in the league.
You're tied in the league with Winnipeg, right, Billy?
Yeah. So did you see this happening, or is this a surprise, or you, or is it just not good enough yet?
You know what? I can't say that I saw maybe this level. I mean, we have played very well. I love to see it because I think our players have been, this is what they've been craving. We've gone through a lot of changes over the last 5 years. The ability for John Hines to come in at training camp and can kind of do everything that he really wanted to do, get the messaging across, the expectations, you know, continue working on the culture, all that stuff is, I mean, this is it's a process, right? And I think our players have been really, like I said, craving it. Heinze's done and all of our coaches have done a great job.
You know, that's an interesting point, which is you just said, because I think this is something that the NHL is missing. They're missing a culture. They're missing an identity. So when you say your team is finding, or at least processing that culture, that identity, where's that come from?
Well, I'm a big believer in culture. No matter what you do, whether it's your family or your business or your sport, I think culture is incredibly important. I feel like culture, like for hockey, a culture and a hockey team, it's a living and breathing thing. And you have to feed it every single day. You can't say, and this is all my opinion, you can't say, oh, we fixed the culture, let's move on. Mm-hmm. You have to continue to work at it.
Yeah.
I give our players, I love giving the coaches credit. I feel like our hockey operations has done a good job. We get great support from our owner. But you know too, JR, and you know too, Pilsy, it's the guys on the ice. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are doing it. They are carrying out. They are getting, you know, the instruction, and they are going out and executing the plan. And I give them a ton of credit.
You know, you see when you talk about culture, JR and Billy, a couple guys that were my favorites when I refereed them, guys like Marcus Foligno, obviously Marc-Andre Fleury. You know, the guy everybody just loves the guy. But there's a guy that stuck out to me the last few weeks, and he could have played in the era with you and JR, Billy, and that's that Jake Middleton. Is he just a throwback? Like, this guy is, every time I see his interviews, he just cracks me up.
Yeah, and I love it. And that's, you know what, part of our culture is you get to be who you are. I don't want you to change. I don't care if we won or lost the game the night before. I want you to come in and be you the next day. You don't have to put on a frown if I'm around or the coaches are around. Look, we're going to get by a loss or whatever. We can be you. And that's who Midzy is. Midzy is a throwback. He's hilarious. And like, those are things that are they're fun. Players' personalities should be celebrated, and right. That's one of the great things in our game. So, for me as a general manager, I encourage guys to be like that and be who you are.
Did you sign him? Because I looked him up the other day, and I know he spent at least 5 or 6, maybe even 7 years with the San Jose's farm team. How did he come over to Minnesota?
Yeah, we got him in a trade a couple of years ago for Kaapo Kähkönen, and then we extended him this summer to a longer-term deal. And Jake's he's played great hockey for us.
Well, when you talk about the culture, too, I could see it because he, in one of these interviews I saw, he mentioned Kirill Kaprizov and how he's hanging out with Kirill, going and having beers and dinner and so on. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, and you guys know this better than me, but a lot of the Russians tend to hang around the Russians, and you know, they do their own thing. And when I heard he's Kaprizov, who's a superstar, and Middleton are hanging out, I'm like, these guys like each other. They get along.
Yeah. I think we have a lot of that type stuff going on in our room. These guys look after each other. Jared Spurgeon and his wife Danielle, they're amazing at having the team over for holidays and parties and things like that. They kind of just keep that part going, which is really great. There's no line that you can't cross. Like, you know, Mitzi's a throwback, you know, the big tough defenseman, but yeah, he'll go out and have a couple beers or dinner with our superstar. We've got a really good bunch of guys, and they really enjoy playing in Minnesota, and they really enjoy playing with each other, like together.
Billy,
you do have a superstar, and your superstar early is being talked about as the MVP of the league, and Krill exudes excitement. And we talk about the players of today, right? And there's always a little bit of they don't have this, they don't have that. It's a little bit of diff. But when I watch Kirill Kaprizov play, every single night, every single shift, he seems to put in the work, like his excitement, the way that he plays. Is he a different breed of a player? Because, I mean, he's got 43 points in this team right now, and it drastically drops off from where he is. Is he the catalyst, and is he the energy behind your team? I'm asking this, obviously knowing the answer, but this guy is a different breed of a player, is he not, Billy?
Yeah, he is. He's special. Yeah, he's special. And you know, like Pielsey has said, like about Mitzi being able to play back in our day when it was different. Kirill could have done the same. He's tough. Mm-hmm. He goes to the hard areas. You know what, JR, he's got some of the same things that you had. You're like an incredibly talented player, skilled, fast, can skate like the wind, but definitely not afraid. And There's no fear. And I think he catches guys off guard like that. And especially even when he first got here, guys were trying to intimidate him, and it just didn't work. It just, yeah, he's the catalyst of our team, and he.
Do you think that's a gift?
I think he has been the best player in the league.
Do you think that's a gift in this day and age right now to have a player that plays like that, that doesn't have fear? Because you don't see that very, very often anymore.
No, you don't, and I do. I think it's a luxury that we have with him, but we also want to make sure that we're taking care of him and protecting him, and
yes,
you know, and making sure we still handle things the right way with him, and we know we have a luxury in this guy. He's so important to our team, to our organization, to the market, and he just loves playing hockey. He wants to win. He, you know what? He's got a world championship. He's got a gold medal. He wants a Stanley Cup, and just winning is it's really important to him.
Billy, I know one of the toughest things when you took over with the Wild, you made the decision, and obviously it turned out to be the right one, but it was a difficult decision to have to buy out two players in Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, guys that were legends in Minnesota, guys that were loved there, but you made that decision to buy them out. That had to be an extremely difficult decision. And the second part to that is, how many more years are you, I don't know if I call it restricted, but that you're still paying for that for them?
Yeah, it was a difficult decision, because the dead cap space is so significant, that we wanted to make sure that we could kind of stay competitive and get through it. Hey, look, and I've said it was nothing personal. It's just you have, if things aren't working, you have to change. And look, I've been traded. I've been bought out. It's not a great thing to go through, but for my job, I had to make those decisions. And they weren't the only two. You know, they were the two buyouts, but we traded other players. You know, we didn't we didn't bring Mikko Koivu back, who was the captain and the, you know, his numbers in the rafters. That was those are brutal decisions, but I have to do my job, and that's what I felt was best for the organization. So you do it and you move on. And we have one more year left. We have this season left, and then we'll have some more cap space to deal with, and that'll be nice.
All right, enough about Minnesota. Enough about Minnesota. We got to talk about Billy Guerin, because Billy Guerin is not the GM. He's not the executive. Billy Guerin is one of the truest, greatest athletes and competitors and winners of all time. And you know, your career has been amazing. And you won Stanley Cups. You've played with some of the best players in the world. You've been on, you know, world championship teams, Olympics. Like, where does Billy Guerin feel the most proud of Billy Guerin? Because seriously, like, you have, we can go on and on and on about Billy Guerin, the stats, but where does Billy Guerin look at the proudest moments of Billy Guerin's life? Because dude, you're one of the greatest guys in the world, but one of the biggest competitors I have ever played against in my life. And people don't understand that mentality. Yeah. So where's Billy Guerin's?
Yeah. Thanks, JR. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. That's a really good question, and it's not like Stanley Cups and things. That's great. I think something that I'm really proud of is one, my longevity in the game and being able to, you know, being fortunate enough to play and now be in management. But I think the thing I'm most proud of is the relationships that I've made and continue to have. Like, there's so many great people in this game. Like, you know, I mean, how long have you and I known each other? We've known each other for 40 years. Like,
40 years.
Pielsey, like, you know, Pielsey was a referee on the ice, and we've become friends. Like, mm-hmm. that, like, those types of relationships are, I'm really proud of that. And yeah. I'm grateful for it. And this game is just, the experiences too, I think that's
you love this game. You love this game, Billy, don't you?
I freaking love it. It's the best. Like, it's just, I mean, hey, look, JR, like, if we didn't love it, right, Pielsey, we would be out of it.
Yeah.
But we're all still in it, and we're in it because we love it, and it's part of us. It's part of who I am. It's, you know,
right.
And that, actually, that's a really good kind. And Pielsey, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I'm so excited to talk to Billy. I got so many things like going through my head with him. You were a special player because you were one of the guys that had the grit, that had the talent with the tenacity, the grit, and the absolute where it comes from the core of your body to play right. Deep. And you didn't care about feelings. You didn't care. Today's game is a little bit different. How do you, as Billy Guerin, when I look at Billy Guerin, I think of like the tough mentality in your face, hard every night. And these players these days aren't like that. How do you GM a team and knowing that they're not like you, but still be able to put together a team like that? It's got to be so difficult for you as a player, as a person.
You know what? I think there are a few. You know, we've got one, Marcus Foligno, like that. You know, Ryan Hartman, Middleton. You know what, JR? I think, and look, we've all been on good teams, and I always look back to the teams that I was on that were good and had success, and what was the makeup of that? They weren't all like me. They weren't all like you. They weren't all like Doug. Wait, you know what? Like Lou says, you know, you have different instruments in the orchestra to make a beautiful sound. And we need all types. And I think, to be honest with you, it's really important for me not to say, oh, when I played, or I would have done this, or I would have done. No, I appreciate, like, I love watching Marcus Johansson skate. It's amazing. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how smart Jared Spurgeon is. You know what? I love how Matt Boldy's hockey sense in his hands. Like, but then I do love the sandpaper of Marcus and Hartsey and Midzy and Trennan and guys like that. So you have to really just appreciate what everybody brings to the table.
Right.
And honestly, put them in a culture and an atmosphere where they could be the best at what they do.
Wow.
You won your first cup in 95. And I want to go back to that, just to 95 for a sec, because I saw a clip. It was either yesterday or Monday, and it showed Marty calling Jacques Lemaire and congratulating him on maybe a ring of honor, but honoring him with the Devils. Jacques was your coach back then. What was he like as a coach?
Well, I will say this. He's the best coach I ever had. He's the smartest.
Look at JR. The trap.
But it was amazing because Jacques got the best out of everybody. He got everybody to buy into it. He got everybody to sacrifice. And in the end, I don't think we really sacrificed like much offense. I think we did some. But the thing I loved about Jacques is that he did it his way. Look, he had already won Stanley Cups. He was already a Hall of Famer. He already had money. Like, nobody was going to tell him how to do it. And it went night by night. There was no grudge, no hangover from like a bad game. If I played a bad game on, you know, Wednesday night and I was having a good start on Friday, he was going to play me a lot Friday because I was going to help him win that night. But if I came in Saturday again and was off, he wouldn't play me. It's every day was a new day and he's just trying to win that game. And I just learned so much from him. It's so, like, it was just about the team, about winning, about sacrifice, all those things. And him and Lou together were amazing.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. But that team in 95, 96, 97 was the worst team to play against. And the worst team to watch. It was freaking painful. It was painful to watch. It was painful to play against. And I know you, Billy. Like, how was it in the locker room knowing that you guys are playing we're not going over the blue line, center line trap that is going to absolutely demoralize offense, but is going to give us the best. And you had the best goalie in the world, right?
Yeah.
So, and you had Stevens, and you had Driver, and you had Danico, and you had Niedermeyer, and you had all these guys. And I'm sitting there going, if I'm in that locker room, I'm going to be like, I can't play on this team. Like, what was it like for you guys in that locker room at that time, playing a trap system in that time that literally probably took the most beating in terms of people's opinions?
You know what? We were a really tight team. It didn't bother us. Like,
right?
Come on, Billy. There's no way you can sit there and say, "Oh, yeah,
win, baby, win." JR, I agree with Billy. They're winning.
I know they're winning, but I get it. I get it. I get it.
I think after a while, it kind of just like any coach. And any system, I think it ran its course, but we were happy. Mm-hmm. We knew we were hard to play against. Yeah. We knew, but we knew we were going to win most nights.
What an amazing comment that was. We knew we were going to win. How many teams right now in the league right now go and say we knew we were going to win?
If we got a one or two goal lead, like in the first period, you were done.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You were done. Like it, right? we had good, like you said, we had two Hall of Fame defensemen. We had a Hall of Fame goaltender. We were big, and we were tough.
Yep.
And we had guys like Claude Lemieux, Stéphane Richer, John McClain. We had Neil Broughton.
Yeah, you guys were stacked.
You know, you want to play JR, remember the crash line? I mean, Bobby Holikin between Randy McKay and Mike Peluso.
Amazing. Right.
Have fun. Like we had a lot of ingredients.
Yeah. Danico.
Yeah, Dano. I mean, Dano.
Hey, by the way, one of the greatest memories for me, of what, because I've watched every Stanley Cup final game. I've watched every player lift that Stanley Cup over their head for the last 30 years. One of the greatest memories of my time was watching Mike Peluso on the bench crying with 2 minutes left.
Really?
In 2 minutes left. Because I played with Mike in Chicago.
And they couldn't put him on the ice. He couldn't go on the ice. Jock was like, Pelu, you're up. He's like, I can't. It was beautiful. It was. And you know what? That's why we didn't mind it for moments like that. And like he just, that was an unbelievable moment. It really was.
It's one of the greatest moments in sports that never gets played because he's literally on the bench in tears with two and a half minutes left in the game. Yeah. And I'm watching this and I'm like, I am crying watching this. It's just like, I can't even,
Billy, 14 years later, you win a cup with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
2009, right?
Yeah.
And was it the conference finals against Boston?
No, we played Carolina.
But when you guys played Boston, you guys were down 3-2 in the series, correct?
That was no. We didn't play Boston that year. We played Philly, Washington, Carolina, and then Detroit. Detroit, we were in the finals. We were down 2-0 right off the hop.
Okay, I was thinking about the series against Boston when you scored with 0.5 seconds left.
That was just a regular season game.
0.4 seconds left. What's that? Yeah,
that was a regular season game.
Oh, that was a regular season game?
Yeah.
Because, which meant nothing. It's just a regular season game.
You could see, like, in the celebration for that goal, I fell down, and, like, as I'm raising my stick, I was so tired. Like, I couldn't. I might have extended my shift a little bit.
I know exactly how. Hey, I gotta ask you a question. We talk about there's always that that question, who the best goaltender in the world is. Now you got to play with arguably the greatest goaltender of all time. Where does Marty Brodeur sit on your list of goaltenders?
Oh wow. Yeah, I mean Marty's.
Do you think he's the best?
Yeah,
I think he's the best.
He's proven it.
I think he's the best.
I think he's the best, and you know Marty. I mean, you just look at his numbers. Look at
what
his
was he
wins.
Like in the
look
locker room? What was he like in the locker room?
He was great. You know what Marty did. And this is why he was so great to have in net on your team. He was a leader. He gave you confidence. Like, he was so even keel, like, just so chill. No matter what the situation is, how high stress situation it was, Marty was just kind of like relaxed and chill. And that just gives you confidence, you know?
Billy, Marty back then would play 75, 78 games a year. How come these goalies now, like if you
he's facing 10 shots a game, right, JR, with the trap?
Yeah, because that damn trap. Let's play 15 shots, right?
But now 55 is a lot of games, right? Like, why is that? Does it frustrate you sometimes when you're told, hey, you know, we got to give him a break because the analytics say this, or he needs the rest, or whatever?
I think a lot of new information has come in to tell us that it's not right to play him that much. But I think the style that the guys play now, like they're up and down so many times, and I think that that's more taxing on their body than maybe it used to be.
Wow.
I think the game's a lot faster now.
Yeah.
I think the schedule's a little crazier. So I think there's a lot that comes into it. And, but yeah, I mean, it was a luxury having Marty in net for 70 games a year.
All right. Well, that's an interesting point, what you're just saying, because we're talking right now in 2024, going into 2025. Never in my wildest dreams would I think that a goaltender would make $11.5 million in the league. We just eclipsed that. Shesterkin just signed for $11.5 million. Is this good for the league? We talk about goaltenders making money. Like, we know the Matthews and the McDavids and the Draisaitls and the McKinnons are going to make big money. Is this a good thing that goaltenders, because we're talking about goaltenders with Marty, Shesterkin's nowhere near as good a goaltender as Marty was, but are we okay with Shesterkin making $11.5 million a year?
It doesn't matter what's good for the league. It matters what's good for your team. And, you know, obviously they feel it's good for their team. So I have no problem with it. Like
I don't have a problem with it either. But it's a crazy, crazy thing.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look at the money guys are making now. Like, did we ever think that? Like,
no.
Right. So like it's
no,
but look at that's where sports are nowadays.
I'm gonna tell you a story, Billy. So the Boston Bruins offered me more money than they ever offered to anybody as a free agent in 2001 in Boston. There's one reason why I didn't go to Boston. Do you know what that reason was?
No.
What happened to you in 2001?
Oh, is that the year they didn't sign me?
That's correct. Yeah. They did not bring Billy Guerin back to Boston. The reason I did not sign with the Boston Bruins in 2001 as a free agent is because they didn't bring Billy Guerin back. And I said to the team, I want to go to a team that's going to win a Stanley Cup.
Right.
And you're giving up the number one person that I need in order to win a Stanley Cup, and that's Billy Guerin. What does that tell me?
Well, thanks, JR. I appreciate that, buddy.
Have you ever heard that story? I've said it.
No, I have not. But
that's the main reason, the only reason I didn't play for the Boston Bruins in 2001. They offered me the largest contract in the history of the Boston Bruins and $10 million more than Philadelphia Flyers or Detroit. And I wasn't going to go there because they freaking didn't bring Billy Guerin back. Now, I'm serious.
That was a tough one. Like, I really loved playing there too. And we had it going on. Like, we were really good, but it was, Billy, that would have been nice.
Billy, bring it. Why did they not bring you back? Because I would have been there with you. Why did he not bring you back?
Well, I mean, I believe it was because of the 04-05 was approaching. And if you look back, they didn't sign anybody past that. They had, like, I'm pretty sure you could fact check. But
that's
wild. When we came out of 04-05, I think they needed like almost a whole team. Like they didn't have anybody. So I was looking for a longer term deal, which I ended up getting in Dallas. And they weren't willing to do that.
It still frustrates me
I'm
No
being
way.
very, very sarcastic here, but do you think Jeremy Jacobs might have known we were going to be locked out in 04, 05? Holy left him.
Probably had a feeling.
No, but
Probably had a
bother,
little bit of an idea.
it bothers me a lot. It bothers me a lot because here I'm in my hometown, right? I can sign in my hometown for the money, all the money that I've ever wanted. But all I wanted to do is win the Stanley Cup. But I'm not going to win the Stanley Cup without Billy Guerin. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. And I didn't do it. And that
Yeah,
pissed
and
me
you would have
off.
been great there too. You would have loved it because I loved it, and I wanted nothing more than to just stay there the rest of my career.
Right.
But you know what?
Shit happens,
Shit
right?
happens,
Exactly. Well,
and but it's yeah. Those are that's the tough part about the business, right? And like, you're happy somewhere, and then they tell you you can't stay, or they trade you, or.
yeah.
It can be brutal at times.
Hey,
Everybody
Billy,
thinks it's so glamorous.
before we talk about the Four Nations, there's two guys that I want to talk to you about. One is Jared Spurgeon. I think he had to play 15 minutes and 49 seconds last night to have played the most ice time in Minnesota Wild history, breaking Mikko Koivu's record. When I ref Jared, he's a good defenseman, small guy, but good. But I got to be honest, 4, 5, 6 years ago, I didn't see him as being the future captain of the Minnesota Wild. What kind of person is he that you saw that in him that you wanted to anoint him the captain to lead your franchise?
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, Spurge is—he's a good person. Like, you know what? He treats his teammates well. He treats everybody around him well. He is a—he's a very well-respected guy in our room. I think because of maybe his path and how far he's come and the type of player he is. He's so consistent. He's at a high level every single night. And because of that, he's very trustworthy. And I think people just, guys on the team, people in the organization, they see the full, we all see the full package in him. And, for that, it makes him a good captain. He leads by example. He doesn't say much. He's not
No.
a loud guy or real talkative, but he's very professional, and if he's got something to say, the guys will listen. But he's a very good captain. He's a very good player. We're lucky to have him.
Hey Billy, how as a general manager, and I know you have a lot of opinions, and you're an emotional guy. It's got to be difficult being up in the office and trying to have that level of engagement with the locker room. And I know you want to have your say in a locker room, but it's also not your locker room. How do you deal with that mentality? It's got to be difficult, man.
Yeah,
Come on, come on.
I
Don't
no, I
give me
I'm around
bullshit.
like when
Don't give me bullshit.
I'm
I
around the
know
room a
you.
lot. I'm around the room a lot. I talk to the guys. I have good relationship with them. You know what? I can give them shit if I have to. I can joke around with them when I want.
Good.
They all know I mean business. Watching the games, you know what? From way up top, I'm usually not that emotional. I can usually put it aside. I try not to let my emotions get in the better of me. They do sometimes. But again, it's not my locker room, it's their locker room. If they need to hear from me, the way I say it is like, look, as a GM, you only get so many bullets, right? You can't be in there
Wow.
having meetings every single day
Wow, that's
because
awesome.
your voice will be unheard after a while. So I try to save my bullets. And
Wow.
when things, I try to pick the right time when either the team needs a kick in the ass, or they need help, or they need me to help them. But I really try to let the culture and the coaches and the players kind of let take things and work through that.
That's an amazing answer.
Hey, Billy, before we talk
That's an amazing answer. I've never heard of, and again, bullets. I only have so many bullets to use. Tim, like, think about that, right?
No, well, and that when you said that, it made me think of, you had to let Dean Evanson go. Army just had to let Drew Bannister go to get Monty. I don't know what's going to go on in New York. I don't know what's going to go on in Nashville. You know, I think the most difficult thing a GM has right now is, because of the salary cap, it's so tough. Like when we had Theo on the other day and we were talking about the Gilmore trade, and remember back then, Billy, I think five or six players went both ways on that trade with Toronto, yeah. Right? It just completely changed each franchise. You can't do that now. You only have so many bullets. You only have so much you can do to get your team out of a slump. You can't make a big trade. And I think that's why we're seeing more and more coaches getting fired. You know, we've got coaches in the league right now that have been in the league 2-3 years. They're some of the most tenured coaches in the league now.
Yeah. And I think because of that, though, like, you know, I think it's so important that as managers and coaches, we work with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. It's a different world. It's a different world than when JR and I played and you were ref and Peelsy. Like, we can't try to bully guys. We can't try to scare guys into playing well. We can't. And that's good. That's okay. Like, we got to work with them. Like, we actually have to coach them. As a GM, I think one of my biggest responsibilities as a general manager is to make sure the guys know that I'm there to help them.
Right.
Not threaten to trade them or this or that. We got to work together more than ever. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of, there've been some, a lot of movement in the coaches department, but you tell know, me, that's sometimes it is the answer. Sometimes it's not.
Right.
Tell me, you have, in my opinion, the greatest American player in history working right side by side with you, Mike Modano, the greatest American hockey player of all time. Tell me Mike's influence on what goes on on that Minnesota Wild team. Cause you know, he was there in Minnesota when he started, went to Dallas. Now he's coming back with you. He is an amazing person, and yeah. I think the best American player of all time. I'm saying it right. I've always said it, but I also do. Tell me about Mike's influence with that team right now.
You know what? I love having Mike around. I love having him back in Minnesota. He moved his family back here.
That's awesome.
A couple of years ago now from Arizona. It's great having him around, because you know, one of the best things he does when he's around is communicate with our players.
Yeah.
And I think when Mike walks through the door and he's willing to help guys, they're like, wow, this great player, this Hall of Fame player who was, you know, Mr. Everything in when he was in Minnesota is willing to help me out and you know, lend a hand. That's got a huge impact on guys.
Huge.
And just his presence. You know,
it's gotta be.
And he comes in, and you know, we sit there and we're watching games together. It's amazing. Like his hockey sense, his knowledge of the game. He still watches tons of games and knows exactly what's going on in the league. And I love getting his opinion and input from him.
It's really amazing. Like, listen, take nothing for nothing, right? All right, I got inducted into Hall of Fame a month ago. If I walk into a room and see Mike Modano, I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm like, yeah. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine what, and I hope that players have that mentality when Mike Modano or when you walk into a room. And that's what I think makes teams a little bit different. And I think that's kind of what we've lost a little bit along the way. That those guys have influences on people the way that they play. Because if I was like around Mike Modano in the locker room, I'm gonna play hard. Like, oh my God, Mike Modano's here. I'm gonna play hard. Is that the kind of like the mentality?
Yeah, I think so. I think the guys like, yeah, they really respect Mike, and you know, I think most of these guys grew up watching him and understand like they know how good he was.
Do you? And so were you like me? Were you like me when we sat on the bench and watched Mike wind it up around the net? And he just started getting going,
man.
And that jersey flew, that long stride, that saucer pass.
I hated it. It was too easy. I'm like, look at this guy. I'm like, this is unbelievable. And then he takes his helmet off, and he's got this great hair, and he's handsome, and he's just like, you know what? I don't think I like this guy.
We used to make fun of him, right? Me, you, and Walt, and Dougie Waite. It was like, what?
It was just making fun of him out of jealousy.
Hey, we're gonna just keep you for about another 5 or 6 minutes. Before we leave, I want to ask you about the Four Nations Cup. You guys are loaded, buddy. Like, loaded. It is
loaded.
Connor, Eichel, Tkachuk, Gensel, Matthews, Hughes, Tkachuk again, Larkin, Boldy. This is one of the best U.S. teams I've seen in recent years. Then you've got Vezina Trophy winner. You've got your head coach, John Hines, with Sully. The defense, you know, Hughes, McAvoy, Faber, Wawrent. Like, this is a really good squad, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. It's a really good team. You know, and I've said this before. Look, they're all good teams, all four of them, including ours. And you know what? It's just such a great opportunity for us to have all these great players wearing the same jersey. And it's just an opportunity to go out and win. It's an opportunity. We have to go and play the games to figure out who's going to win. Like, so many people have asked me, can you win? We're going to go and try. And you know what? What's on paper doesn't always translate to what's on the ice, but we're hoping for that. And we're working on it, and we're going to do whatever we can to help these guys come together and be the best team.
Well, and you know what? You just said something too about the opportunity. Because it really is a shame, Billy, that they haven't had the opportunity. The last Olympics is the one I officiated in Russia in 2017 or 2014, I mean. And it's sad that we've got players in their prime and so on that haven't had that opportunity. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be fantastic. And I'm really looking forward to it.
I am too.
How difficult was it for you? Because there had to be some guys you're like, man, we could.
Dude, that's what I'm going to say. Like,
okay, go ahead.
How can you not have Jason Robertson? How can you not have Tage Thompson? How could you not have, like.
Well, come on.
Like some of these guys that are not on this team. It's like, holy crap.
It's because they don't have two teams.
No, but and by the way, I think the team is amazing. I'm not saying anything about the lack of players that aren't there. But holy crap. It's got to be like. It's so destructive to say, how do we not have these guys on this team? And I'm wondering what kind of went into those final decisions.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, we listen, those players are great, and they could be on it.
Right.
But and I've talked to those players, and they're gentlemen about it, and just so supportive and for the team, and you know, wishing us luck, and but we can't have everybody, and that's kind of.
I'm going to ask you a very.
And I hated making those calls, but
I'm going to ask you a very difficult.
Decisions.
I'm going to ask you a very difficult question. Okay. why Matt Boldy and not Jason Robertson? Why Matt Boldy and not Tage Thompson? Matt Boldy's a great player, amazing player, and he's young. So these are the decisions that you have to make. So tell me why Matt Boldy is there. And by the way, also, I'll just ask that, because by the way, I love the choice. I love the choice, but yeah. I would love to hear from you why Matt Boldy, that nobody knows, but they know Jason Robertson. They know Tage Thompson. They know
they
these
know
guys.
Matt Boldy. You don't know Matt Boldy.
Come on.
Yeah. You know what?
Please. No, they don't.
I think the question's fair. I think people do know Matt Boldy, JR. But, you know, like I said, these are the decisions that I had to make. And I just feel right now that, hey, look, we could have gone with a whole number of different guys. I feel right now where Matt's game is, he's a really good player, and he's doing some special stuff. And
he's so solid.
Like you said, all those names that you answered, they're great players. They really are. And I think those guys are going to have a long they're going to have a long history of playing for the United States.
Right. Yeah. Well, Billy, like
I'll just say I love Matt Boldy. I do. And but I know there's a lot of people that are saying why, and that's why I asked that question. Right. He's a great choice because the kid the kid's nails. He's absolute nails.
I think so too. And those, like, listen, people are, I knew if I named player X, people were going to say he should have taken player Y.
100%.
And if I said player Y, he should have taken player X.
Yeah.
So I got to make my decision and not worry about what people say. Go up, we'll play the games.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. We'll adjust for the Olympics. But I think we've got a great team.
It's got a great team.
It's not all about taking the best players either. Like I watched your game last night. It was a great game in Utah. And then I switched over and I watched the Blues in Vancouver. And people are like, why isn't Robert Thomas on the team? Well, guess what? You can't, you know, Travis Konecny's on that Team Canada team.
Right.
Who's a better player? Robert Thomas. But you can't have 12 Robert Thomases on the team. You've got to, right? Like you, that right. statement that you made earlier about all the instruments and so on and making the noise, the music. Like that's what makes up a team, like it does at the NHL level. You know, you've got your role players and you know, Robert Thomas, I'm sure it killed Doug Armstrong not to pick him.
Absolutely.
But you know what?
Yeah, but it goes to the point also, is the question is this the right time to have a tournament like this, Billy, in the middle of the season? I understand kind of the dynamics of it, but as a GM, you guys are number one in your division and what one of the top team in the league. Is this the right time to have a tournament like this in the middle of the season?
Better than the All-Star game.
100%. Thank you. So, I agree.
So when is the perfect time now? I because, you know, we were used to doing like Canada Cups, World Cups in August, early September. That's kind of what I was thinking about. But you look at the European leagues, they all take breaks for international tournaments.
Yeah, listen, by the way, I agree with what you're saying. It's better than an All-Star game, but nobody's going to get hurt in an All-Star game. You're playing the Four Nations Cup. These guys are going to play harder in the Four Nations Cup. They're going to be playing for their country, and they're going to be playing harder, and you have bigger chances for injuries. You have bigger chances. And I know injuries are all there and well good, but I'd rather have an injury for my team rather than playing the Four Nations Cup for what?
I disagree. Right. I disagree.
Disagree about what?
Well, no, what do you disagree about? I hear where JR's coming from.
I understand where you're coming from.
What do you disagree about? Would you rather have someone get hurt for playing for their country in the middle of the season?
Of course not.
For their team?
But the difference is we haven't had any of this competition in almost 10
years. Yeah,
but
we don't care about the competition. We care about winning the Stanley Cup, Tim Peel.
I understand that, but we also, these guys, no, true, that's very true, but guess what? Guys want to play for their country too, and guys have missed that opportunity.
You asked me what I'm doing in February. You asked me in February what I'm doing. I want to play for a Stanley Cup, and if one of my guys gets hurt in February, going for a Stanley Cup because they want to win a Four Nations Cup, I'm going to be pissed.
I could pull my groin walking my dog tonight. Okay. Like
I think it's going to be great hockey. I'm excited to watch. I really am.
Love that. I come on your show and I'm the referee between you two. I love it.
He just
there's the Billy Guerin I know right there. There's the Billy Guerin I know.
This is great.
I know.
Hey, look, the league, the PA, They came up with, I agree, it's been too long since we've done something like this. They decided to do it now. Whenever it is, we'll deal with what we have to deal with. Hopefully nobody gets hurt.
Right. And, yes. So I will say this in wrapping this up. I think PLZ and I will agree on this. They picked the perfect guy to run Team USA.
Absolutely.
They picked the perfect person to run Team USA. There's no better guy than Billy Guerin. Listen, we can go on and on and on. We talked with our buddy Dougie Wade a couple weeks ago, and we told stories about, you know, our time in the game. Your passion for the game is it's endless. And I appreciate you, man. I love you so much. I love what you do for the game, and you're one of the greatest people in the game. And I wish you the best of luck with Minnesota. Wish you the best of luck with the Four Nations. But I appreciate you coming on with us, Billy. Seriously,
absolutely. Thank you, guys. Well, and JR, honestly, finally, right, the Hall of Fame. That's
thank you.
That's been calling your name. Honestly, I remember playing against you when we were 10 years old, and you were playing
10 years old,
Pittsfield, Connecticut.
Met, yes,
Jersey Rockets and all this. Yep. And JR, you were, I mean, just such a great player, and you've always been a good friend. You know, you've always been kind and always given time, and you've been a good buddy. And I was just so thrilled when you got in, because you deserve it. You are a hockey player, and you just deserve to be there. So congratulations, buddy.
Thanks, Billy.
Well, you know what? As we wrap up, Billy, I would see it when I'd run into you in the hotels, and I'd run into you and the coaching staff, or you and the players. And I'm not surprised at all by your success as a GM of the Wild, because that's how you treat people, like you treat your buddies in your neighborhood or guys you grew up with. That's how you treat your coaches, the players. You're not above them. You're in the trenches with them. And I wish you nothing but success this year. Marc-Andre Fleury, we didn't talk about him, but one of my favorite guys of all time.
The best. Yeah.
I'm sure maybe he'll come and work for you after.
We could talk. Yeah, we could talk forever about him. And on top of Marc-Andre Fleury, there's no way we're not going to talk about Minnesota Wild and not say what an amazing owner Craig Leopold is for this team.
Yeah,
100%.
He is one of the greatest ambassadors for hockey that there ever was in, you know, owner, fan, whether it's women's hockey or NHL, Craig Leopold is the true epitome of what hockey lovers are. So, right.
Yeah. You said it there. He is the best. I got the best job in, not just in hockey, in sports, working for Craig. And he's just, you know, him and his wife, Helen, they're just so down to earth, so kind and generous, and they it starts from the top, man. And he is just the best.
Yes, he is the best. And by the way, you're the best, and we wish you the best of luck. And listen, I picked you guys as my sleeper for the Stanley Cup, so don't let me down, okay, buddy?
All right, we won't.
Did. I got to be honest. I didn't, Billy, so.
I did. I picked you as my sleeper pick, beginning of the season. Billy Guerin, I love you. Tim
love
Peel,
you too.
I love
we
you.
We love you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for another amazing Snipes and Stripes. Listen, on NoFilter.net, and you guys are the best.
I knew this was going to be an interesting show, because JR's in Florida, Billy in a golf tournament with Pavelski and Getzlaff and a bunch of guys. I knew it was going to be an interesting show when I saw him sipping wine at 4:30 in the afternoon.
4:30. Love it. We had vodka at 9. Kidding? Dude, listen. Hey, take a look at my room.
Boom. Oh my God, that is unbelievable.
All my boys are getting ready to come in. We have a better locker room than we had at Chicago Stadium, man.
Read to Billy the list of guys that are there for that golf.
David Booth, Ryan Getzlaff, Brett Hull, Brad May, Jeremy Roenick, Brendan Morrow, Bernie Nichols, Pavelski, Dan Quinn, Justin Williams, Wisniewski, and Terry Yake. So we're about ready to.
Wow.
We're going to crush this team, man.
That's going to be some fun.
Thanks, I love you, Billy Guerin. I love you, Billy Guerin. Best of luck.
Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Another Snipes and Stripes just crushed it. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next week right here on nofilter.net. Snipes and Stripes, the best. And by the way, thanks to our sponsors, Whiskey in the Wild, our protected net guards, Bet Online. You guys are all the best. Hey, PLZ, how good is that man?
What's that?
How good is that man?
Oh, Billy's awesome. He's just, like I said, I'm not surprised by his success. He's just a good person, a good human being. I'm rooting for them. I love his team. I love the players on that team. And you know what? I know we were joking about the Four Nations Cup, but I'm looking forward to watching USA.
Yeah, I am too. I get your point.
Like, hey, all of a sudden, Matthew Tkachuk goes down with a serious injury. Matthews goes down with something,
Toronto's done.
I know. So, but anyway, listen, enjoy your golf trip. Say hello to the boys for me, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, buddy. All the best. And again, I just love having true good grit guys on the game, you know, between you and me, Billy, last week, Theo. Week before
Dougie Waite.
Yeah. We're just bringing quality people to the show. That's Snipes and Stripes right here in No Filter, and we bring the goods. Have a great night. We'll be back next week.
Bye.